Sarah Burns grew up on the East Coast, and she had a pretty clear idea of the kind of work her family expected her to go into, what was normal. But that's not what Sarah did. She instead moved to the West Coast and did something else. She lives in the Metau Valley now, and she shares what it was like to take that plunge into a new life.
So I'm standing in the door of an open plane. It's super loud inside the plane. I put my hands on the outside of the plane, of the fuselage. I put one foot on the threshold, one foot behind, kind of like a racer starting a race. I get slapped on the shoulder and I throw myself out of the airplane. And then suddenly it's really quiet. It's this crazy moment where kind of earth and sky blur together as you're falling and moving, and my parachute is deploying, and I'm kind of snapped back out of the fall and come down into the jump spot and hit the ground with your feet and roll over onto your side and then gather your parachute. And we move out of the way because then the cargo comes in, and then my chainsaw is dropped. And then we go through the boxes and take the gear that we need and head to the fire. My older brother works for the State Department. He's a diplomat in the Middle East. And my younger brother is a professor of Italian Renaissance history. I grew up in a household that literature and academics was of, you know, the utmost importance. And I was somebody who really just wanted to run around in the woods. My default with my parents, and I'm sorry, I'm sure they might listen to this one day, is that I just lied because I didn't have the vocabulary or the ability to dialogue about what I wanted and why I wanted it. And so I just ended up not really telling them a lot of the details. So, and it happened more than once. I mean, when I first went out west, I told them that I was going to, you know, work in a campground when I was actually fighting fire. And then, you know, when I was going to rappel out of helicopters, I didn't tell them about that. When I was doing some chainsaw training, you know, like I hid the letter under my bed from the Forest Service that described what my job would be like, and, you know, included phrases like, you know, hazardous work conditions, smoke, hot, many days out of communication, chainsaws, etc. I remember the first day that I ended up working for the Forest Service, I was handed a chainsaw, and, you know, everybody kind of stood back and waited for me to start it. And I looked at this orange and white mechanism and thought, I don't have the slightest idea to have you turn it on, you know, and had to kind of look for some guidance. And then, you know, somebody gave me a 30-second introduction to, like, this is how you choke it and start it and run it. And, you know, I was small and weak and I couldn't start the chainsaw. It was we were running 44s at the time and it was a big saw. So, you know, it was a sink or swim kind of environment, but they saw how hard I worked. And they saw that I kept on keeping on. And, you know, for them, that was the ethos of the crew. And from that point on, you know, I was the East Coast Jewish girl on a fire crew. And that's just the way that it was. I was working in fire for the Forest Service when I had my first daughter. I pumped on some initial attack fires, and it became more and more clear to me since my partner and myself both were working in fire that raising a child without any family support and both of us working in fire was going to be increasingly difficult. It was a tricky decision to leave the Forest Service. I felt like I had worked hard to get to a place in my career. I had a permanent job, I had a boss that I loved, and I felt like I was doing good work. And even, you know, there's been times where I felt like that I made the correct decision, and then inevitably, at least once a year, usually when I when I smell wildfire, it kind of floods me with a whole bunch of memories and kind of yearning for perhaps, you know, the freedom of being on the road fighting fire. And also, I think the bottom line is I really liked being on, I liked being on wildfires. I liked that work. I liked interacting with the people that I was working with, and you know, I liked doing the physical labor. My work as a doula is in some ways in stark comparison to my work as a firefighter. Certainly going from being one woman in a crew of many men to being one woman, you know, in a room of many women usually, and you know, there's usually one man or two men in there. But I feel like, you know, I feel like my doula work is probably the most revolutionary work that I will do in my lifetime. It feels like a job that is not only meaningful to the couple that I work with, but then has a trickle-down effect to the next generation in a way that I feel like is rare. I was recently at a birth that reminded me that, you know, oftentimes in a labor of any duration, there's a moment where the woman, you know, kind of wants to throw the towel in, like, I'm done. I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And it's super normal. It's often indicates when a woman's, you know, going through transition. And then when they start pushing, it's a really unusual feeling of you know, kind of extreme pain usually, and knowing intellectually that you sort of have to push into the pain, you have to go toward it rather than away from it. You know, you have a headache, you take a pill, or if you sprain your ankle, you know, you lay down and you ice it and you want it to go away. Whereas in birth, like, you need to invite the pain in a way that is unusual for most people. And I think that, you know, in my mind, I often think back to that same idea of a threshold, and that you're, you know, when you're standing in the door of an open plane, you have two choices. Like, you either go out the door or you give up, right? If, I mean, nobody ever really turns around and just says, like, I'm not going, I'm throwing the towel in. There's a lot of similarities in that, you know, time and time again to see women kind of push through what is the hardest thing that they've done, or the hardest moment of a labor that could have lasted hours or days, and just their realization and kind of rewiring of their whole system to realize that, oh, this is a time that I'm at the threshold and I must go through, right? I must jump out of the plane. I must push this baby out in order for the sensation to end. And I think that the power that women can take away from that really can sustain them for the rest of their lives.
Sarah Burns lives in the Metal Valley. That story comes to us from contributor Ashley Ahern.